for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Saturday morning, May the 28th, 2011. Don Andrews is the speaker of the service teaching on Redeemed.
I've asked Richard Tate to come and introduce our morning speaker. Richard has known Don for many years, and I just wanted Richard to do that this morning. And he agreed. I asked him if he would.
As you said, we've known Don and Don's known us. That's how it works. There's no one-way streets. And for many years, they were part of our little church out in Fremont for many years. And you know, God works in mysterious ways. I mean, some of you may not know that yet. You will if you don't. Believe me, little did we know that after they'd moved back to Arkansas, and boy, God just began to put in my heart, I said, man, I wonder what's back there, you know. Bible Belt, segregation, all that stuff, my goodness, they might get hooked up in something really bad back there. So, got in touch with him and said, why don't you go down and check out Lake Hamilton Bible Camp? Now, on a California map and an Arkansas map, I'm figuring it's hundreds and hundreds of miles away, because in California that kind of distance would be a long ways away. And little did we know that they would come down here, and then they would move here. Isn't that marvelous? Little did we know in a few years, God would be moving us out of California to Texas. And we were in Texas, if I give you the whole thing, about 2 days. Anyway, I mean, my poor wife, I mean, I had the home already. We'd already had it. It was there. Just had to go get it. First thing we saw when we got there was no sidewalks. I mean, we're sidewalk people. And I just told my wife, well, one thing, I ain't driving to take a walk. I'm telling you that. That's not going to happen. And there was a highway right there that started. And I said, this isn't good. She says, yeah. And I said, you know, she said, I'm just not witnessing this at all. And I said, well, here we are. Okay. So we went in, that was on a Sunday, we went out to spy out the land. And we spied it out. And so, you know, my flesh is saying, well, why don't you just move on? And my spirit was saying, why don't you just go out and tell them what's going on? So I went out there and they argued with me and fought with me. You're going to lose your deposit, you know. I said, well, I've been in these fixes before. I'd rather lose my deposit now than be stuck in a year's lease for a year that I ain't supposed to be into. I've been there already. I don't want any more of that stuff. So I thought, well, now what are we going to do? We'd ordered some glasses in Fremont from Mara, and they were coming into Dallas. And I said, so we're kind of stuck. I thought, why don't we just go up there and look on the map? I said, it's only 300 miles. California, that isn't even, you know, getting the car warmed up. Why don't we go up there and see Don and Andrew for a couple of days, and then when the glasses come in, we'll come down and get them. We'll kind of put and see which way we go. I was kind of leaning back towards New Mexico, and Mara was just kind of leaning where the car was going. Believe me, because she didn't have a clue. She was very concerned, because my wife is from American Samoa, so she's not exactly Caucasian. And she says, you know, they're going to get me down there. Oh, I've heard about them Southern folks. What's going to happen to me? I'm afraid they're going to see you and see me, and what's going to happen to me? I said, just don't worry about it. It'll be fine. We'll be all right. We'll be okay. So we came up here. That was 3.5 years ago for a visit, a few days, and we're here. So you can't, you know, God's in little things that sometimes are so insignificant that sometimes they don't even get on our radar, and many times we're not sensitive to them, and they don't happen, and we end up someplace we shouldn't be, or still in a place we shouldn't still be. So God leads us. Now, I'm just happy to have Brother Andrews come and share with us, because he has a word from God this morning that we need. So, Don, would you come and share with us the word of life this morning?
He didn't tell you the part about where he stayed with me for about 3 months, and then Glenn said, come here, I want to show you something. And I don't know exactly this exact way, and he took him over to the mobile home he's in right now, and he says, here's the key, this is yours. And he said, what do you mean it's mine? He said, this is yours. He said, it took him a while to register that that was his home, and Glenn didn't ask him, do you want it? He said, this is yours. And Richard told me, he said, every time I drive out to that road up there and I look both ways, he said, nothing happened. Nothing happened, so I just drive back to the house and start over again. So, I'm just grateful for the men that God have put in my life. Richard knows me from the beginning. I was an animal. I wasn't one of those in-control wild guys. I was an out-of-control animal. And I had all the faculties, I had all the skills of a trained combat man, but I was an animal. And God changed me, set me free. He started there and worked this way. We were doing some deliverance this morning, and I'm going to say a prayer here in a minute. And I was thinking too, don't you just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? And I pray that what I'm saying will be the continued flow of worship that started up this morning, that presence doesn't lift, and that he pierces our hearts. Because I'm going to tell you the way God showed it to me, and that doesn't mean that you're going to see it the same way I do. But he brought the law, he brought sin, he brought deliverance to my understanding this way, so that I could see it and grasp it. But first, I got a couple other things to say, and then I'll get there if I get there. I said, Lord, don't let me cry. I felt like I was going to cry all morning. His presence has been so strong since yesterday. But at the same time, it's been terrible. Because it's been this real squeezing, you know. This real pressure of change, you know. Of giving up those things, you know. And I'm kind of cover a little bit of that, if I can, here in a little bit. But I've talked to a lot of people this morning about what God's doing in their lives. And I'm just saying, it's just a question for you to think about. And I was thinking about it. What do you do when the pressure's on? What do you do when things don't look right? What do you do when you're sick and you're attacked by the enemy? What do you do? What do you do? Do you let fear come in? Does a gate open? Or do you just withdraw into the hands of God? I found that I can withdraw and His peace and His rest and this new place comes out of me because He's got His arms open and He wants me to come in. He wants me to rest in Him no matter how bad I feel, no matter if I'm even dying, that's where He wants me to do. Not to say, what's happening to me? But to withdraw into His arms and say, thank you, Lord, for the thing that's changing my life. Because this is drastic and it's changing me. Changed me like I could never be changed before. And as I've traveled down my walk home, I used to question that stuff. And why did you put me here and these people and this and that? And I get it after I'd work at a job for 5 years and I'd move. And finally God says, you know, I'm going to do this work and finish it. I don't care how bad it hurts. And I said, I'm with you. Because I want it over. I've been in pain on some things, and I'm just going to say this, and I know all of you may have it all worked out, and you may be perfect and not going through anything. I don't know. But I've been doing this stuff for years and years and years, and I keep thinking, I'm okay now. And then I right down the road, it just nails me to something else. And I used to like, Lord, why don't you just give me a little cruising time? And then as I got down the road, I realized that, how fast do I want this work to go? How long do I want to stay out of the heavenlies, out of those places that He's placed me in, those places He has for me? How much do I not want to see Him? How much do I want to not understand who He is? So, I was listening to men this morning and I was trying to explain to them, this is about the life of Jesus in you. And this whole thing is not about getting healed. It's not about really getting set free in the sense of that's the purpose of it. It's not about feeling better. It's about knowing Him. Knowing Him in His greatness and who He is. And that's a spiritual thing. That's not a mental effort. That's not a mental thing that's going to put you up one level higher in your mentality. It's a spiritual thing that's going to take you down to depths that you never ever thought you could go and still survive. And still come out victorious. It's come out knowing Him more than you've ever known Him before. That's enough of that. Lord, I just thank You for Your presence. I just thank You for the flow of Your Spirit right now. I just thank You for Your intercessory Spirit that rests on Your people, that cries out for their mood and for your presence and who you are. I just thank you, Lord. Praise you for it. Just let your flow keep going, Lord. Don't let me be an interruption. Don't let me be something that blocks anything, Lord, but let me flow with you. Let me try to give what you gave me and give it right. Okay, I'm not going to float around too much. I'm going to kind of a little bit, but I'm going to kind of share out of Romans 7 and 8. And I know this is kind of a scriptures about the law. But God, whenever God said, I was asking the Lord, what is this thing about deliverance? I mean, I know it works. I know it's happening. I know that when I say come out, it comes out. When I say go away, it goes. Most of the time, you know, it all depends on the vessel that we're praying for too. It's not always, it may be my fault sometimes, but it's not always my fault. Sometimes I refuse to accept responsibility. Sometimes. Because there's a real guilt factor that will kill you by the time the day's over if you're not careful. But I'm going to start out with the word redemption. This is kind of an act of redemption. This is kind of to me, it was mankind's year of jubilee. When God did this work for us through Jesus Christ, that we were reclaimed, we were redeemed, we were brought back in place in a position that He intended for us in the first place. We were giving back our property rights. We were giving back everything that was taken from us. We were giving back everything that we gave away. We were giving back everything that we sold. We were put back and restored in our wholeness and set in the heavenlies with Him. That's the way He showed it to me now. And then redemption is an act of redeeming or the state of being redeemed. Deliverance. Rescue. Deliverance from sin and salvation is a theological point of view. This is a dictionary. Atonement for guilt. Repurchased as of something sold. Paying off as at a mortgage, bond, or note. Recovery by payment as of something pledged. And a conversion of whatever money into something else. Now just, this is Isaiah 54, 5 through 8. I've got a lot of scriptures, so I'm kind of like Bo. I may not dwell too long on anyone. Bo said something yesterday, I think it was, or the day before. He said, and it really rung with what I'm thinking and what God was showing me, that He said in the Old Testament, He said they did all the right stuff and then got blessed. And He said now, in this transition, what God's doing now, we get blessed right off the bat. We're set in heavenly places and then we get set free. Then we do all the work. It's kind of a backwards thing. We get the benefit of it but we don't see it that way. For some reason we keep climbing for that thing that's already ours. And I'm not saying that I'm not in that boat too, but as God's doing a work in me, this revelation of who I am, and it doesn't bolster me up because there's a thing in that that's going to make it hard. It makes it hard for me because I saw what it would take to enter into His presence. I saw what it would take to change my life. I saw what I would have to walk into purposely and consciously so that I would change. I saw the things that I would have to repent of, forgive, and do, and let the work be done in me, places that I really couldn't go in my own self because of my emotional mental state. We can't go there. We try, but we can't go there. So I knew that I had to let Him do the work. I had to abandon myself of all responsibility for myself and say, God, now be responsible for me. And we can't do that because we're always trying to please Him. The best way I've seen to please Him is just to abandon myself to Him and let Him do the work and embrace the work being done. And He doesn't say, do it beautifully. He says, just do it. Because I know I haven't done one of them beautifully yet. Now the end result comes out beautiful. To me, great that God's grace is beauty in motion. And that's us. That's us in the Spirit. That's what we are when we walk into His path and we acknowledge Him and do what He asks us to do. And Brother Landry said something during the funeral that hit me, that that's a very true thing that we all need to think about too. He said, we do have altercations in the body of Christ, but we do not let them bother us. We throw them away right there and we go on. And I thought that's really true. That's something that really needs to be acknowledged in our walk because the enemy's come to divide us and come to set us free. I'm just saying this is what I'm saying because I'm going to go into it in a minute, but these are the things that God's working with. It's not like something on the side. Like sending you to a foreign country. If He sends you to a foreign country that's full of cannibals or whatever, I don't even know if we have those anymore. But we may have a new brand of cannibal now, demonic type stuff. But He prepares us if we're really going to go, but if he hasn't prepared us, it's going to destroy us. It's the same thing with anything. It's the same thing with life. Same thing going to your job every day. If God does not prepare me and I go out there, I cannot deal with those demonic people. And as because of that, I moved every 5 years, I go get a new job. It was when they started figuring me out, because I was a kind of a quiet person, they started figuring me out and picking on me. I was a very violent person at the end of being picked on, so I either had to, I would either wind up probably in prison for whatever, or I had to leave. So I would just go find another job. I was always, I had established a reputation, had enough background, it wasn't hard for me to find a job in my field. I could find pretty good paying jobs, and I just think God was gracious too. Because a couple of times he got me jobs out of nowhere when I couldn't get one, and they weren't paying very much, and he found me a job that paid and took care of everything, you know. And he told me beforehand, but I had to wait. I had to wait for it. So. Anyway, Isaiah 54:5-8. I'm just going to lay in some foundation as I go for what I'm kind of sharing, because I'm not really talking about the law versus grace or anything like that. I'm talking about, and I'll give you a picture of what God showed me, and you can either see it and grasp it, or maybe modify it for your own mental safety, or whatever it is you'll call it. Yeah. But for your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. The Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says our God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. And that's when I had my note on Jubilee, because that time when Jesus came to me was our ultimate Jubilee. We were reclaimed and restored, everything in its place. We just have to know that. We just have to hang on to that whenever we're in our worst moments. I have Romans 5:9, and kind of and it says, much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We're saved from wrath. We keep living like we're in the middle of His wrath, like any minute wrath is going to land on us because we're failures and we're not doing right. And all of us, there's some that don't feel that way, but we talk to a lot of people in deliverance that the way they're talking about where they're at in their situations, that they're just an inch from wrath, from God's wrath falling on them because they're so evil. And the enemy's got such a hold of them that they just can't get free. And I can tell any of you, whoever you think you are and how long it's been, that if I'm set free, you can be set free. If God has made my mind straight, He can make your mind straight. I lived in darkness. I mean, deep, deep darkness. When God came for me, He didn't send an evangelist. He didn't send anybody. He just sent Himself. And I'm not even going to go into that, but it wasn't like, oh, hallelujah. It was a climb out of darkness. A climb out of darkness. Because of that, and I'm going to explain that about redemption, how grateful I am for His redemption, because I know where I was at, and I never forget where I was at. Everybody says, oh, I've almost forgotten how bad I was. I'll never forget how bad I was. Never, never. Because there's such a gratitude from how evil and bad I was and how anti-God and Christ I was, that He would come and take the time in my rejection of Him so many times and come and say, I've come for you again. Won't you come and go? What can I say? Because I saw His face, couldn't say no anymore. I was hoping I wouldn't. I had this great feeling I was going to come up here and just stand here and cry for an hour. I really didn't want to do that at all. Productive that was. I have some other stuff on redemption, but I'm going to let that go because I'm going to get into the other part on Romans. And so that scripture there in Isaiah talks about us as Him as our husband, and like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit as us, or as those ones that have turned their back on Him, like a youthful wife when you were refused. Because even in our denial of Him, even in Israel's denial of Him, at the same time we're saying, where are you? Why is this stuff happening to us? Where are you, our God, our Lord? Why aren't you here? Even though they didn't see their sin, they didn't see where they were at. That we fulfill the laws, we sacrifice, we go to the temple, we go to the tabernacle, we do all this stuff. Why? Why is it you've turned your face from us? Why have you forsaken us? But he's saying, with a little wrath, with a little hard time, with a little discipline, with a little of this and that, I'll show my face to you once again. Because he draws us and shows us his face and says, now that you see me, what do you want to do? Now that you see me, compare me to where you were at. Compare to me what the place you're in. That's what I did when he came to me and showed me his face. I said I compared him and the thing that I would have to walk out of with the face I saw. And I said, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. And I didn't say I dropped all my drugs and walked out and said, hallelujah and praise God. It was a hard walk out. I had to forgive myself many, many, many times. I learned what condemnation was and how it is really a fruitless curse on we put on ourselves trying to walk out of those dark places. If God forgives us all those times, why can't we forgive ourselves? Deliverance stems out of unforgiveness. Stems out of condemnation. The devil says, oh, you're evil. Look, you did it again. Oh, you're there again. And God's saying, no. Repent. Come to me. I won't ever turn my face to you. Through Jesus Christ, I've opened that door. I've opened that door. No more of that having to prove yourself to me and then I'll bless you. He says, come in. Because to me, the blessing is to be set free. I don't know what your blessing is. You might be money or cars or houses or fame. Mine is to be set free. Mine is to be at peace in my own self with my God. Mine is to be at peace with my brothers and sisters in the world. Mine is to be at peace with my enemies when they aren't going to be at peace with me. That's my thing I want. Well, I've had all that other stuff. And that's what I want for myself. I want to rest in that. I want to have a clear mind whenever I'm in God's territory doing His work. Because if I walk in there and I'm getting in the midst of all that confrontation, what do you think is going to happen? My mind's turned upside down. I'm starting to act in the flesh again. I'm starting to act like the man that I'm not supposed to be, that I was. So as God sets me free, He brings me into those new places where those worldly things and those places I used to control my life and make me act and react do not do it anymore. Now I'm going to start with Romans. I'm going to try to explain this the way I see it. And I'm going to read the first four verses, Romans 7, 2 through 4. And I'm going to try to explain what God showed me. This is the work He's doing in me. I'm just telling you what He showed me. And God does these things to me in groups and stages. Every time I come to share on Sundays, I say, this is what God's been dealing with me with. This is what He's been showing me. And if it seems simple for you or it doesn't help you, that's fine. But there's a depth to this, to me, that's beyond eternal. Because it decides where we're going to go and who we are. And it decides how we see deliverance and how we get delivered and what we come into when we get delivered. For me, it did. I don't know about you, but it did for me. Okay, thinking back to Isaiah that we just read, it says, for the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to whom who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Okay, this is what God kind of showed me is how that all kind of operates. It was the easiest way for me to see it. Bo and Gene's been kind of sharing along this line. I guess we're going along this line. We might as well go. But I'd already kind of promised Kevin he wanted me to share this in camp. I shared some of it on Sunday. And I thought, everybody's already sharing something. But I couldn't get away from it. And he asked. So God showed me how my internal workings in the flesh and the spirit work. He showed me my sin nature on this side. It was like, dividing. So my sin nature is over here. This is all that the law is connected to. This is all the old sin. This is all my bad stuff. This is all the stuff that came down my family line. This is all the stuff that hasn't been dealt with yet. This is the stuff that's already been dealt with in the spirit, but it's not been dealt with in us. Then I saw my soul sitting in the middle, my mind, will, and emotions. That all that stuff that I am without the sin. But God showed me that I had been in that sin so long, and so permeated with it that my soul looked like that sin. But then he showed me my spirit and my regeneration and my calling me back to him and my jubilee. He showed me that perfect spirit that sits on this side, that when it was awakened, it was in its perfection. And that Holy Spirit came and just filled it right in with it, just kind of blended in with it. And so I said, well, what else comes after that? And he was showing me that as we start walking through life and we walk things out, and deliverance is, there's like the devil sits right in a divide between that old sin nature and our soul. And he's always manipulating us because he wants our soul to continue to believe like our sin nature does. And the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's over here trying to take us over to that side and clean us out and make us okay. And make our soul look like this, our spirit is. And make our soul function like the Holy Spirit functions. And make our mind like Jesus' mind. So as he's doing this work and through deliverance here, and the devil's in the middle and we come in here and get deliverance, he cuts those demons off. He cuts those demons off where they can't bolster up that sin nature, bolster it up and support it and strengthen it, because that's what they do. They strengthen it and make it, give it power over our lives. And they infiltrate it, because part of that is in our soul. All those demonic forces are infiltrated into our flesh too. God showed me a vision of it one time. I looked at my body and I could see white and dark spots all in it. And the dark spots were where the enemy was, had infiltrated and took up residence. But as we're delivered, and as that sin nature starts dying, as we die to self, as we die to that thing, God is able to take those spiritual beings and entities out of us and set us free. This is the way, however you see it's mine. But this cleanses of all those places. And as we grow, we turn lighter. I saw it as a transition into this light. And our flesh, because I'll read you a scripture later, that even our flesh is affected by that spiritual life that's cleansing us, setting us free. Our flesh is being made eternal, and I'm not really worried about eternal here. He's making that flesh part of us. Jesus would have the humanity of man in him when he went to heaven. He took that humanity with him. He didn't leave it here on the earth and fly away and the thing dropped off like a shell. It was changed and it went with him. He's going to take that humanity in us that is connected to that thing in Jesus and take it with us. We're going to go with it too. So he's preparing that body up that we are. And I don't think, he told me, he says, you're never going to get rid of that thing, because that's the only thing I can purify you with. That's the only thing I can set you free with. It's the only thing that keeps your feet on the ground. Because your mind, will, and emotions in your own soul has its own issues a little bit too. It has its own things that it deals with. It has its own will, its own mind. Jesus had that perfect soul. He had that perfect soul without any sin. He had that perfect soul but he still had to deal with that perfect soul. You know? I chose to do the will of the Father. I chose to do what he asked me to do. I saw what he wanted me to do and I did it. It wasn't like he was out of control in that thing, like, oh, I'll do what I just got to do what God says. But he saw who God was and what he was. And he still had that walk on earth to do and his own mind, will, and emotions. Even though there was no sin connected to him. And so you deal with that stuff, and that's what God's taking us. He's taking us there. But we have that thing to purify us and bring us into him. And right down to our last day, it's going to be bugging us. And if we were set free, we'd be like Jesus. We'd still have that. Because we are not from the Father like he was from the Father. He knew the Father. He understood. He saw him and knew him. We're given that as we go, as we're able to receive. And I just say that in my life, I see more of him, and it's easier for me to choose him over those other things. So this is, to me, this is not a thing about the law. This is a thing about our position and our connection to what he's doing in my life. What he showed me that he's working out in my life. This may be shorter than I thought, but I'm going to go through the scriptures and explain a little bit. I know that everybody kind of sees things their own way, and that was the clearest way that he showed me that I could explain what he showed me. In Romans 7:5, he says, "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were working our members to bear fruit to death." And that law is still connected to that sin nature. It's still part of that. It's still part of that. And it tries to draw us back into that law. It tries to draw us back into that sin, because that law is that sin. It's a recognition of sin. It's trying to draw us back into a place, we call it a religious spirit. It's trying to bring us back into that law. If we function and perform and do these things, God's got to bless them. And I've seen people that it wasn't God that was blessing them, it was somebody else. So you've got to be careful in there if you're performing Antichrist things that you don't get blessings from the enemy. When the enemy came to me years ago and said, if you'll come and serve me, you know what I'll give you? And he showed me all the cars, everything in the world I wanted. He said, I'll give it to you. But this other little voice came up and said to me, yeah, but look where you're going to wind up. So, you know, be careful. You know Jesus, I'm just saying. You know, if you get off in that sin nature and that flesh, the enemy's right there to deceive you. How else could we have witchcraft that heals people, operates on them in the spirit, and does all that stuff, and even puts on the name of God while he's doing it? So, I stay close to him. I stay close to what he's doing. A lot of people have a lot of tormenting voices. I had those when I was younger. I had a lot of torment going on in my life since I was about 6 years old, up through my 20s. And then I ran into the real solid thing. It wasn't just a tormenting spirit. But God sets us free from all that. He wants us to have a good mind. And he wants us to put, we want to control our mind. Give me my control back. God is not interested in what we want to control. He wants us to give him control of everything. And I know that, see, now you're all thinking, I think that way. Oh, how can I give control to him? Let's say, yeah, here, take control. But it isn't that way. These are spiritual things we're thinking about. And we constantly kind of transmute them or transfer them into natural thinking. Like there's something I can do in this besides give it to God that's going to change me. Or be obedient, what I would say better. Because he's going to give us stuff to do to break that. He's going to put us in positions. Are we going to embrace him in that position? Are we going to say, yes, Lord, thank you. I'm grateful for this really bad position you put me in. Are we going to be that way? Because when you start out, you're in rebellion and against it, but he's doing that work in you, and as you draw to him, because most of the time when you first get hit by stuff, we go the other way. Well, why me? Why this? I've done all this stuff. I'm here this. I'm a preacher. I'm this. I'm that. Why have I got cancer? Why have I got diabetes? This. But instead, God wants us to draw to him. To draw to him. Say, Lord, I'm here it is. I'm not seeing too many men at the stage of life and death, no matter what type of men of God that weren't afraid at that point and did not embrace God like they should have, not said, Lord, I thank you and I love you, and no matter what happens to me, I'm yours. Take me and do with me as you will. My life is yours. Well, as soon as something happened, we take it back. What was yours till that happened? I don't want to be that way. I do that. But I don't want to be that way. I want my life to always be yours, even at my worst. Even if I'm dying of some whatever, I want it to be his. And I've been really sick before, and I found in some deep sicknesses I was much closer to him than I ever was when I felt good. Such a presence of him that it was almost hard to take. So I almost wanted to stay sick so I wouldn't come out of it. So this is where we're at. We're coming out of that the law of sin and death. We're coming out of that old law that made sin accurate. There was one thing I wanted to say about the marriage thing. I missed that. I really liked that part where it was talking about how that old law was the old husband. How that old husband died. Because without that death, if God put it to death, we could not come into the new husband, the one that God had prepared for us. We cannot remarry into that new covenant that God had prepared for us. So he had to completely kill that thing, kill it off. It was gone when Jesus came and brought in this new husband, this new life, this new marriage, this new connection, this new... I was really taken by the fact how that said that, how we're, no matter how we get away from, we're his bride. No matter how we get away, if we cannot get away from the fact that we're intermarried, we become one with him. We become one with him in spirit, soul, body, blood, tissue, hair, everything. We become one with him in everything as he brings us into his presence, brings us into his life, brings us into the heavenlies, because we start, I guarantee you, start seeing heaven. It starts in heaven when you do it. You see his face. You see those things he has for us. And you won't be confused. You won't be misunderstanding. You'll be in battle. You'll be in battle, but you get to where you're not confused anymore, because God says, here's your battle, and there's the door. Now, do you want the door, or do you want to just pull yourself out of the battle? Because this last day was that way for me since yesterday. Here's the door. Now you're at war. Now you can accept that, you can accept what I've got for you and win the war, or just take the door and walk out. And I said, well, Lord, I can't do that. It's been too far getting here. I know who you are. You're real. So I have no choice. I've got to take it. I've got to go through it. How much for door number three? Okay. Well, I'm going to read Romans 7:7 again. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, "You shall not covet." And that was kind of self-explanatory. The law was sent. We know what sin is. And actually, I think, like it'll say later, the law is holy. It was established as a holy line to tell us what sin is, and to show us that there's no way possible to fulfill it or do right by it or to come into full compliance. It says if you break one law, you've broken them all. So these are scriptures. I don't know where they're at. I've read them. I didn't know. If you're asking for that kind of thing, you might not get it from me. But look it up. Prove it to yourself. So, and I wrote my one note under here, and I think it was true when I wrote it. The law is the heart of God. We cannot truly know the heart of God the way we were intended except through spiritual life. Because the law comes to live in us. The law itself is, we've already said in those places, and God is establishing the law within us. It's a spiritual law. We're just doing it backwards now. We get the good stuff, we just don't know it till now, and get to, of course, we got to pay once we get the good stuff. It's a good price. It's a good price. There's nothing bad in it, nothing. Because when you're set free and He takes that price, there's just nothing like it. The Holy Spirit comes and rests on you. You might cry, you might laugh, you might dance. God set me free in dancing. I don't do it much anymore because I'm older, or just don't. I can do it anytime I want, so it's not that big of a deal. But He set me so free in dancing, because I would never dance. I would never do that in front of anybody. I was always a guy sitting in the back corner over there, didn't say nothing, was real quiet. And then one day, I was at a church, and I told it before, and you probably remember, but I'm going to say it again. I was sitting there, and God was saying, this music was playing, and it's like this voice says, come and dance with me. Dance. And I thought, no, I just put it off. I put it off all the morning service at this other church, because nobody danced there. They didn't hardly worship. You know, really good. I mean, they had really good music. I don't continue that as worship. But you have really good music. And so then I said, I'll do it tonight. That's a better thing. Nighttime service, less people, it's a better time. And so he started that night. The music started again, and it was the same song. And he said, dance. And he says, yes. And I always cry when I do this, but it was so personal. And Jesus came and said, won't you come dance with me? Won't you come dance with me? And I said, no, I won't dance with you. I danced and I never quit. I danced that whole night. But those costs sometimes feel high until you pay them. You break so many things that and so many sins and so many rebellions by being obedient. So many. All right. Okay, verse 11 says, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Verse 13 says, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. So that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So we can no longer live by that law anymore in our natural mind. And I know that some people have a little trouble with that, but God, just when He showed me that picture of my sin nature and my flesh, and showed me that how the enemy attaches to that and how important it is to get deliverance, to reduce that amount of control it has over our soul, to break that down and break, because that's like food to our sin nature. Boy, it's like, just, you can just see it. I could just see it when the more demonic it looked, it was, I could see it, the bigger it got and the more control it got. And it would just kind of shift over into my soul and just infiltrate through my body and soul. And as God, through the Holy Spirit, started working back the other way, and I started saying, I want that. Because it's an acknowledgement of what God's doing on our part too. I mean, He kind of sneaks up on the enemy and takes a foothold in us, and He shines that spot of light in there and says, here's some relief from your torment. Here's some truth for you. You're really in a spiritual war. You know, not, most of us don't really think so. Even though we're Christians, we still think that somehow or other we're going to take care of this in the natural by our choices and our actions and what we do. God just showed me that ain't working with me. Not anymore. I mean, I can. I always like somebody that is broke but goes around knocking on doors asking for money and say, oh, God bless me with $200 or a bag of groceries after they knocked on 200 doors. I'm not saying that's wrong. I mean, if God tells you to go do it, go do it. But at the same time, you can't come and claim that as God just walking in the door and giving you something. It doesn't work that way. That was just a little example. And God wants us to start trusting Him that way, that those things start producing in themselves and manifesting and on the good side, you know. We get a lot of manifestations on our evil side that seems to distract us over the good things. And I'm saying this from my past and a lot of people I've seen. God can do all these blessings for me, and I can see a miracle. And over here, some little something or somebody will bother me or something will happen that I really didn't want to happen, and all that's gone. All that's gone. And God wants to bring us out of that kind of mentality. So bring us out of that kind of mentality. Bring us into a spiritual mentality, because that's natural thinking. I'm not saying I'm there. I said He's trying to bring me over there. And I'm trying to agree with Him. Most of the time. Okay. There's one thing about the old sin and the natural, and I think verse 13 kind of says something about it. When we came into the spiritual life, those laws and that sin became more sinful. It became more sinful. Before, we could sacrifice a sheep and maybe some bird and some grain. They could do all that stuff, and their sins were put ahead for a year. I mean, God was still always dealing with their heart attitude, and that's what He was looking for. But they were still put ahead till it was finally so, they were so evil He couldn't stop. They go sacrifice, but then they go down to Baal and go over to Molech and go down to whoever and take care of, go down to the temple harlots and all that stuff. And, you know, they would just try to appease every god that there was in the whole country. And then they'd say, why is this happening to us? But to us it became more sinful because we were aware of sin. We were aware of sin. When we became in, and we were redeemed and we were saved, we're aware of sin. We know what sin is, or we should know what sin is. When I was in the world, I knew what sin kind of was. I had that worldly mentality. I'm not hurting anybody, so I hurt a lot of people. But I'm not hurting anybody, so I just keep doing what I'm doing. But when God says you got saved and you know what sin is, now you're responsible, because that sin became more sinful to me then. That same, and the enemy could come in and pile it on me. Yeah, you sin. I had a conscience. Okay, so the law is really a good thing, but not the old law, the new spiritual law, the law that's come to change us. The old law could not change us because we can't change ourselves. Even in our doing, we have a hard time. I have a hard time with myself in this new law. I have a hard time in this trying to be what Jesus wants me to do now. I have a hard time with my pride. I have a hard time with my what I want, what I don't want. You know, pride's a pretty big base of all that stuff that's going on. I have a hard time with that, because when I say, "Well, Lord, I'm moving if that happens, and I'm packing up if that happens," or I used to say that, "I'm going over there if that happens," and God never dealt with it back then. I don't like this. I'm not, you know. But if I even think that way now, it's just, do you really? Do you really? So in some days when things happen and I'm just not happy with the way things are going on in me, or just, it's not any one thing. It's just that thing God's working in. I can put names and numbers and situations and things on it. Bad day, everything broke, this, that, the other. I had a little, like, had a little rip with somebody or whatever. And, I'm looking for an excuse to get out of what God's doing with me. I'm just looking for a way out. I'm not so much looking to get out of what because God says, look, there it is. And I'm going, that's too hard for me. Because I've got to deny myself. I've got to say, no, I'm going to go whether I want to go or not. And sometimes I just can't go. He has to approach me with it more than once to get me to. The bad thing about it is I can see it out of the corner of my eye, over my shoulder, and waiting. And I do this thing. Well, what about that? And what about this? And I don't know. What about this? And that was different. And he says, but it isn't. And there's what I've got for you. Do you want it? It's like this big prize sitting there. But you got to go through all that. As you mature in God, and I'm just saying it, as you mature in Him, He lets you know what He's doing. When you're immature and coming in, you can't know because you won't see it. He'll try to let you know, but you just won't look at it. So most of that stuff, like one person said about drag with heel marks, and I think in the beginning there's a lot of heel marks. But as He's working in you, and you start maturing in Him, then even though you're a little slow at going, and maybe there is a couple of skid marks, I don't know, but you will go into that. You will receive it. You will enter into what He's got for you. And this is this verse in Romans is Romans 8, 1 and 2. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. That's the one that saved me. That's the one that made me able to go on. That's the one that set me free of the enemy's devices. That's the one that set me free of the pressure that the enemy could put on me. And that's the one that set me free of my inability to be righteous in my own self and my continued failure in certain areas of my life that God's working. That's the one that set me free of that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I have repentance. I have repentance. I can repent. I can forgive people and receive repentance. I can forgive people whether I've done anything wrong or not and receive absolution. I can receive it. And I never could before, and I didn't understand that. I would be doing these things that were repetitious, and I wanted out of them, I wanted out of them, I wanted out of them, and I would be so condemned in the end. I go, well, God's not going to listen to me anymore. And I would just take myself out of the race. And God's over here going, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I have no condemnation for you. I said, Jesus. And I thought, well, no. That's all right, God. I deserve it. I deserve to be cast out. Thank you, Lord. It's about time. And then the pressure kind of left, for about 2 days. And I go, oh, where's God at? But that was such a wonderful scripture, and it became real to me. It became real to my soul and my spirit, and then it became real to my mind that no matter, godly sorrow is all I need. And I don't mean that as a simple thing, because godly sorrow comes from God. Godly sorrow comes from understanding what it is to be cut off from God, what it is to offend Him, what it is to hurt Him. If I get hurt and I weep and cry, how much more that I think God would be offended over me? That all that He's given me, all these great things that He's given me, all this freedom in my heart, mind, and soul, my flesh hates, my soul and my spirit loves. That how much has He given me that? So whenever I offend Him, it just tears me up anymore. It wasn't nothing I got on my own, because I thought, Lord, I repent, and it never did nothing for me. I said, Lord, I got to know what godly sorrow is. Give it to me, so that my repentance means something, so that my repentance changes me, so that my offense changes me. My offense changes me sometimes more than my good things. My repeated offenses change me more than some of the things I do right. Because I know in my repeated offenses that God is working this out in me. He's going so deep in me, and He's got the key to those doors down there and opens them up and lets that prisoner free inside of me so that I can comply with deliverance from it totally. I'm not going back and checking it out and saying, well, is it dead? Is it dead? Is it still alive in me? But I go back and it's dead. And it's not, I don't even look back. I don't even look back on some of that stuff. I just thank God for that. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Everybody's got their own, but that's one of my favorite because I was in such condemnation for so many years. That's what killed me. I grew up in church, but that's what killed me from church was the fact that I was in such condemnation where I'm being unable to fulfill what I thought God expected of me, especially as a young man, especially as a teenager. I found it easier to just go out in the world and to battle with myself over doing right. What a mistake. What a mistake, because the size of that evil in my flesh, that sin nature of mine was so big by the time God got back to me, it's taken me this long to get it cleaned out. Where he can operate, it seems that way. Probably not, but it seems that way. Where he could start showing me what he's doing. And I mean, scripturally, yeah, but usually he shows me, then he says, go look at that scripture over there. Like Romans 7, I would have never gone and looked at Romans 7 for what I'm sharing with you. I would never thought of the old bride dying and the new one. And he says, read Romans 7 and 8. I started reading and I said, that's it. That's it. And I saw that picture of how all that fit together for me. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. All that stuff, all that evil in us, all that's already condemned. It's already done away with in His mind. Now that Holy Spirit's down there in us with it, making us like that. Making us like He sees us. Making it like the Father sees us. Making it like we've been set in, like Bo said. We're already given the gift. Now He's working it out. That was the simplest way I ever heard it said. I really like that. I'm sitting there with Jesus and saying, oh, wow, I've got all that good stuff. And He's saying, yeah, and we'll work on that down there. And I'm saying, well, and I'm down here going, wait a minute. I'd like to go up there and sit down for a while where you're at. Need some rest. You know? But so it's in verse 4 says, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the question is, do we walk according to the Spirit? And I saw that when I looked at myself, I said, yeah, I do a little bit. I do a little bit. So I'm sharing you this out of where God's had me at. I may take this same scripture 6 months from now, and you may not recognize it. But God will open up more to it. But allow yourself some room. Don't condemn yourself. And don't give the devil credit for all the stuff that's happening to you, even bad. But God has come to work on you and embrace you and bring you into His arms and into His presence. And all those things that seem so bad and against us, a lot of that's drawing us in. And I'm not saying you won't get deliverance in the middle of all that, because it's all connected. It's a string running out to our sin nature. There's a tie connected there. And God, even though He embraces and brings us in, that's when He can do is when we surrender in Him and let Him do that work in us. And then He'll send us to somebody and someone will say, oh, can I pray for you? And you know, He might even send, He's done that to me many times. A lot of times I'll work this out. And He sends somebody and says, well, can I pray for you? And I said, well, yeah, I think you better. I'll be done here in a minute. Here's a real thing that we do as Christians, and I find myself get caught in. And verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, for to be carnally minded is death, but just to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is against or in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we sure couldn't please Him in the flesh before. We still can't please Him in the flesh now. The situation with that is if we try to please Him in the flesh now, we're in rebellion. I know when I try to please Him in the flesh, I'm in rebellion. I can tell, no, I don't need you. I can do it myself. Or I don't like what's going on, so let me take care of this and I'll come back to you when I get it done. Because you're probably not going to handle it the way I want to handle it. You're not going to do it the way I want to do it. So just wait right there, Lord. I'll be right back. I'll try to take care of it. You don't really see that until after I get in the middle of it and say, well, how'd I get here? This is not good. Or the worst part is to have to go back and repent for something, even though you feel justified. You're right, and go back and repent because you've done it in a wrong heart, wrong mind, wrong spirit, wrong place, wrong time, wrong person. God just loves us so much. Just loves us so much. We could just grasp it. Just grasp it. We're spiritual beings, totally without any inhibitions in the spirit realm if we could just get a hold of it. Without any lack of anything that He has for us. He has all good stuff. We could just let go of those demonic controls and think that He's got somehow some power over us that God can't step in and cut loose. He can cut it all loose. If He can cut it loose on me, He can cut it loose on everybody else. I'll tell you. When somebody comes to me, oh, I just can't do it. I say, oh yeah, you can, because I did it. He did it in me. There's nobody here that can say that they were any worse than I was. Nobody. And God did it in me, and He set me free, and He cleansed me as much as I've led Him up to this point. Of course, we're in America, and that's limited to some things that are real bad. But, you know, I've not been in countries where it was really, really bad. Romans 8, 9, and 11 then says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, Spirit of Christ, He is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal spirit bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So your mortal life is going to receive that same life. As it takes over your body, and you're going to receive that same eternal life. Like I said, I'm not worried about here. I'm not worried about here. I want that eternal life. I want that life that's being imbued into my flesh from my spirit and from the Holy Spirit. As that life of that sin life and that sin nature is being cut away and dying and being whittled down and being delivered of. Job even says, Job 19:23 through 27, oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and He shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Romans 8, 12 through 17, the last part of that says, Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And I'm just going to say something in that. I used to read that, and that didn't mean a whole lot to me. Because of the mess I was in, and the work that was being done. I would go over here and read these other ones about no condemnation and the work being done to me. They mean a lot to me. But that saying that I'm already there, I've already received it, I already am placed in that place, I already am a joint heir, I already am an adopted son, I'm already grafted in, I'm already put in place, I'm already sitting on high places, I'm already that man, that woman, whatever, that God has called to sit there beside Him. I'm there, I'm that place, I'm that person. I see glimpses of it, I don't stand in it all the time, I can't say that I do, but I get glimpses of it, and that's enough for now. That's enough for now. At my lowest point and the work that God's doing me, I see it. He shows it to me. He says, this is really you. This is who I've made you into. This is who I'm making you into. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't think that the enemy's got more on you. Don't let that sinful nature that's pulling on you pull you away. Don't let your environment cause you to fall. Don't let your environment not to press on. I'm just a permanent believer in persistence. I don't mean like, rah. I mean persistent, like to chip away at it, chip away at it, and then you gain power. Chip away at it till you weaken it, till it can't stand before you anymore, till then the Holy Spirit can come in through you and empower you to take it down. That's what He does with me now, and I'm coming into places now where I can speak at it. Sometimes I speak at it and it doesn't move. I work at it till it moves. Anyway, I'm just sharing with you. I want to pray a prayer over everybody before we close. I'm just about done. I just want to share what God's been doing with me lately and showing me that He's really wanting to change my life, and that I'm really wanting to agree with Him, and that He's showing me spiritual things, and I love Him for, because I cried out to know what's happening, and He showed me. And I had to come through some kind of rough stuff sometimes to get there. And it's not really, I mean, if it's not happening to you, it's not rough to you. But when we're in it ourselves, it's rough to us. Sometimes it's not a big deal. Sometimes it's little things that have just deep roots. It's a little bitty weed about that tall, but it's got a root about that big around. It just runs down in us, right down to our very toes and into the ground. He's showing me those things and showing me that there is a bigger hope than just hope. Pray for everybody real quick here. Lord, I know this is your time, Lord. I just feel your presence just flowing. I can feel your Holy Spirit, Lord. I can feel it. You want so much to change lives and to set people free, and that whether they're listening or not listening, and whether they're aware or they're focusing or not, they've heard your word. And I don't really care. I think it pierces to soul, bone, spirit, and all those places in us that your word is supposed to pierce, whether we're listening or not, because it's a spiritual thing. It has its own dynamics. And it does its own thing because we release it to do those things. Even when we're not looking. Because when you came and found me, I don't know if maybe my mom was praying somewhere off in the dark, but as far as anybody around me or anybody I knew, there was nobody but demons. But when you came for me, you came for me. And that your word, all of whatever I made in the past, you pierced right through the work the enemy was doing. You pierced right through my pride, my prejudice, and my thoughts, and my mentality, and all of that arrogance I had, right down to my very soul and being. And you call me out. But I want to kind of release this into some of these people this morning. If they have a need to be strengthened and bolstered, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would go in and start making room for yourself. Bring revelation to them, Lord, like they've never had. Show them what the heavenlies is like, Lord. Show them who you are. Show them your face like they've never seen it before. But you're just not a word. You're just not a Bible word. You're just not a scripture, Lord. You fill the universe, that you're real. That we couldn't live without you. We couldn't do without you anymore. Just thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in these people the rest of this camp, Lord. And I pray that what I've said at least will have something that somebody can grab a hold of and sustain them during the wars and battles that we're going to confront in the future, Lord. And like everybody, like some were preaching this during this camp, Lord, that we could be a blessing to your kingdom. We could be a blessing to your kingdom. We could be that obedient servant that goes when you say go, because we know what authority is. Just thank you and praise you, Lord. And Lord, just bless the food, bless it to our bodies, and bless the rest of the day, Lord, and all the speakers that are going to speak. And just let your presence continue to flow and touch us this morning. We want to stay in it with you the rest of the day. Amen. You're dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.